Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of today's message is our epistle lesson for today from Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 17. Paul writes there, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." But as is often the case, there's a whole lot of important things that Paul writes before those verses. There's a question that runs just beneath the surface of Philippians chapter 3, the entire chapter, and it's this question: how do we get to holy? How do we get there? It's a question, as you read the entire chapter of Philippians 3, you realize very quickly there are some people in that city that are answering that question. They've got a very brief, succinct answer to it. And Paul is concerned about the answer that the church, the Christians there in Philippi, are hearing. It's coming from people that would be recognizable even to us today. The message really hasn't changed much. These would be the preachers that you see up on the billboards, or you see on TV, or on the back covers of books. In Paul's day, these were Gentiles like the Philippians, but they were Gentile converts not to Christianity, but to Judaism. And so that question, how do you get to holy? They were more than ready and willing to answer. You get to holy by following these simple steps. You get circumcised, you follow the law of Moses. Done. It's a tempting message. It's a tempting message even today. We love clear and concise directions, and we're frustrated when we're given a task to do that doesn't have them. That's usually when we notice it most often. I love that I can pull out my smartphone when I'm going someplace for the first time, plug in the address, and hit go. And it tells me exactly what I need to hear. I go straight ahead for 3.1 miles, turn left in 400 feet. The destination is on your right. Even better, if I mess up, it tells me. You've missed your turn. Recalculating. And it gives you the next set of directions that you need to follow to get there. We do the same thing when, at least I do the same thing, when I've got some project around the house that needs to get done. I query the internet. How do I fix my toilet? Enter. And then I've got 6,000 or 7,000 answers, many of them seemingly easy to follow, step-by-step directions on how to do that. It's tempting because we do it so often to do the same thing with faith, our spiritual life. How do we get to holy? And there are people, there are answers that are just as quick, clean, and concise as those answers that we get from our smartphones, directions to our location. Say the right prayer. Get baptized. Don't murder anybody. Give a little money to church, and you've arrived at holy. The question for us really to ponder today is, that what Paul is getting at when our reading for today starts out at verse 17, when he says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." So when you read the earlier verses in Philippians 3, what you realize very quickly is that Paul is very familiar with that message. A message that says, if you want to get to holy, here are the things that you need to do. He was familiar with it because he preached it, and he's confident that he preached it better than anyone in his day. And when you look at the life of Paul and you ask yourself the question, why did Jesus choose him? Of all of the people who he could have chosen, why did Jesus choose him? I think it was possibly for this reason. So that there could be no excuse. None of us could say, in hearing Paul's message of grace, Paul, he's just preaching that message of grace by faith. He's just preaching that message because he couldn't cut it. Simply not the case. In Philippians 3, what Paul does is he lays out the case that if anyone could have done it, could have gotten to holy by doing a certain set of things, then he was the guy. He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day. I wasn't a later convert to Judaism. I was circumcised at the exact moment, the earliest moment possible." I was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I can trace my family tree all the way back to that beloved son of Israel. More than that, as in terms of the law and the strictness with which I kept it, I was a Pharisee. When it came to zeal, I didn't just talk the talk, I walked the walk, so much so that I would go from town to town persecuting those who I thought were speaking against the law of Moses. See, Paul had had his best life now. He was purpose-driven. His purpose was the law. And if anyone had reason to boast, it was him. But oddly enough, Paul writes, after writing that laundry list of the things that he had done on his quest to holy, he says, I don't boast in any of those things. In fact, all of those things that I counted gain, that maybe others would look at and count as gains, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. See, Paul didn't know holy until holy met him on the road to Damascus. He was blinded, but now he saw, and he wasn't going back. So the question, how do you get to holiness? If holiness isn't found in just that readily access list of things to do. If someone came up and asked you the question, a friend or family member, how do you get to holy? What would your response this morning be? You see, it's tempting to focus on what Paul is doing or what Paul is encouraging Christians like us to do. As we read his letters to the churches, they're chock full of instructions and warnings, things to do and things to avoid. And our epistle reading for today is really no departure from that. Verse 17 says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. But if you just start there, it's like putting the cart before the horse. Or like taking out a set of instructions and flipping to page 5 and skipping all the other stuff that came before and then trying to move forward. See, Paul knew well that while he was straining towards his goal and pressing on towards it, he could do that only because Christ had first come to him. See, Christ has already obtained you as well and made you his own. What Paul saw was that in his life and in the lives of all the other Christians, that before Paul ever started down that road to holiness, before Paul ever started pressing on towards his goal, Christ had already pressed on to him. So the question, how do you get to holy? The good news is that holiness gets to you. See, Christ pressed on to redeem you. He left the glory of heaven, came down to this earth, took on the form of a servant for you. He pressed on through Bethlehem where a king wanted to murder him. Pressed on through his hometown of Nazareth where when he came through as an adult, as his ministry had began preaching and teaching, many of his neighbors, even his own family, didn't recognize him for who he was and they questioned his authority. He pressed on through the surrounding villages, teaching and answering everyone's questions. Why don't your disciples wash according to the tradition of the elders? Who are you to forgive sins? Why are you healing on the Sabbath? He pressed on through the hills of Galilee where some praised him and some told him to keep on pressing on. He pressed on through the streets of Jerusalem where some people shouted, Hosanna, save us, son of David, and others grumbled, saying, this man is going to get us all killed. He pressed on through the temple courts where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law tried to discredit him. He pressed on through the upper room where he dined with a disciple who would later betray him. He pressed on through the Garden of Gethsemane, where his disciples couldn't stay awake and watch with him even 1 hour, and where he was arrested. He pressed on through a mock trial through Pilate's courts where he was beaten and then washed off Pilate's hands, pressed on towards Golgotha with a cross pressed on his back. And finally, he was pressed on a cross. And as he strained for his last breath, he strained towards you. Among his final words were these, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In his moment of greatest pain and agony, Christ's thought was not on himself, but on you and on his tormentors. His final prayer was a prayer for mercy and forgiveness. Christ pressed on through death and was raised again to life. Christ pressed on to redeem you so that he could always be with you, so that he could be with you in eternity and be with you today. See, Holy has come through many dangers, toils, and snares to be with you. The amazing grace of the gospel is that your salvation is secured, and it begins when Christ takes hold of you. See, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the good news. Holy has come to you, to your life right now, not just in some heaven that's light years away. One of the biggest mistakes that we make as Christians is that we talk about our salvation, we talk about what Christ has done for us in terms only as kind of a get out of hell free card that will play at some later date. But the truth is, Holy has come to your life now, not just in some eternity to come. See, holiness, it's not a destination so much as a person and the means to get to the destination. As we read at the end of our reading from Philippians today, Paul begins to write about the resurrection to eternal life, the new life to come. And that resurrection, it's a now and not yet kind of thing for us. See, we're told, and we read in God's word, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not that we will be new creations at some later point in the future, but that we are new creations now. As you die to sin and live to Christ each day, that's a resurrection. As when you discover a new passion or joy, when that joy awakens in you, in Christ, that is a resurrection. When one day your body ceases to function, you breathe your last and you sleep in death, in what will probably feel like moments, you'll awaken again to the sound, the cry of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God, alive again for eternity. That is a resurrection. So how do you get to Holy? You don't. Holy comes to you. And it's because Holy has come to you in Jesus Christ that we can go on and press towards the goal that Christ has set before us. That we can do as Paul instructs here in Philippians 3, that we can imitate him and those who follow that message. In Jesus' name, amen.